good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cup, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Carnegie, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. And my colonized name is Robert Pilot, and we discuss Native issues and events all over Turtle Island. And as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Alliant Energy, powering beyond.
Wow, yeah, awesome. So we probably should say, well, we have Dr. Stately on today, mm-hmm. and he may show up the second segment, but if he doesn't, we can tell everyone in our audience the nightmare we went through at some computer phone store today. I know, I'd rather not too, but that would, I think I would get angry. I was getting angry through the mask, wasn't I?
Mm-hmm, yeah. You were getting mad.
And I normally
through
don't.
Your mask.
And I normally don't. But hey, I just want to give a quick shout out if we don't have time to talk about before we go with Ogama with the news mm-hmm. that you don't hear anywhere else all over Turtle Island. And we appreciate her. We're having Dr. Stately on. And also, I went down to the Mankato ceremony on the 26th of the hanging of the 38+2. And one thing I just got to bring up, too, before we get with Ogama is that we're really hearing a big theme of getting Leonard Peltier out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was excited to hear that, and they're bringing that back up. It was very strong during the Clinton administration, and it's coming back. And at our store, we're going to have paintings that Leonard did, and we're going to sell those for helping with his
release
mm-hmm. fund mm-hmm. With the lawyers and everything. So that's going to be exciting, and
yeah.
we're going to get free Leonard Peltier T-shirts and mm-hmm. Keychains, and so stay tuned. But without any further ado, Wendy, because gosh knows I need a break, let's put Ogama on with the news. Welcome, Ogama, and happy new house, it looks like, and also happy 10 feet of snow you have up there and the deep north. Welcome.
Well,
we don't hear you.
I think you're on mute. There you go.
There you go. It's a new year.
Can
no,
you
not
hear
yet.
Me now?
Yes. Yep.
Awesome. Okay, great. Just took a minute for that to catch up here. Hi, Anim Buju, everybody. I'm Ogama Ganiwakwe with Native Roots Radio. We did get a lot of snow where I live in central Minnesota. We've got about 2.5 feet on the ground. So if you're snowed in where you're listening to from, I feel you right now. It's been a long day. Are you still with me, Robert and Wendy?
Yes,
oh, I don't
are.
Hear you, Robert.
I had
oh,
it on.
Okay.
we're new at this, so we're trying to figure out these buttons.
Oh, yeah. No, it's I'm in a new house. I just moved, so I'm working on my audio issues here, too. So everybody, if you could be patient with us, we'd appreciate that, too. As always, I want to start with a little bit of Line 3 news. So Line 3 water protectors are facing a lot of legal struggles right now. Defendant organizers and supporters are currently coordinating mutual aid in the greater anti-pipeline community. And there are several avenues that you can take on for supporting Line 3 defendants. If you are able to offer monetary support, please donate to the Line 3 Legal Defense Fund at line3legalfund.com/donate. That will allow water protectors who have been charged with trespassing or other charges in the fight against Line 3 in Minnesota legal defense funds and other sorts of aid. If you are not able to offer monetary support, but could offer something like non-monetary support, rides around town or to court, ability to house people for any period of time, ability to feed people, or to have material goods that you maybe would like redistributed to the defendant community, please go to tinyurl.com/WP Mutual Aid, standing for Water Protector Mutual Aid. And there will be a form that you can fill out there about what kinds of help you can offer and what you can do there. So, you know, in this holiday giving season, we want to make sure that we are remembering our water protectors who are in limbo right now with their legal cases. It's a scary place to be, and I'm sure we here on Native Roots Radio are going to be touching base on that as we come into the new year, as there are a lot of water protectors who are facing court cases coming up, I believe, in mid to end of January. Is that right, Robert?
Yeah, it is, and we're going to support. I just ran into Winona LaDuke too down in Mankato, and we're conniving, and we'll probably have a planning and conniving, Wendy, and we'll probably have a broadcast with Winona just on the support and what's happening with the, I guess the first load is going to be 420 people that are going to court on that Monday.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's going to be insane. The number of people that they're pushing through the legal system for really, for charges that we would normally not see people within the legal system for at all. It's really just, there's been complaints of it overloading the Minnesota legal system, but the state of Minnesota and the DNR and other affiliates that participated in the arrest of water protectors need not have overloaded their own caseloads by charging people the way that they did with Line 3. So, we'll see how that turns out. And again, we'll be covering that more as time goes on. The other thing I wanted to mention this year, before I get into a little bit more news, drug overdoses have surged by nearly 30% during the COVID-19 outbreaks over the past year and a half, and are killing people of color and Native people at huge numbers. And that just adds more despair onto our communities that are suffering from generations of trauma and poverty and loss and dealing with underfunded health systems. It's leaning away from opioid epidemic. People are dying from cocktails from many different drugs, and deaths involving methamphetamine now have nearly tripled. And Native Americans are more than 12 times more likely to die from methamphetamine overdose, as well as overdose from any other drugs. So I want to give a shout out to our relatives in Turtle Island who are suffering or had suffered during the holiday season with the loss of a loved one. Due to COVID-19 drugs or other trauma-induced health conditions. I lost my father to cancer about 6 years ago, and the holidays are still hard. And I know other friends and family have lost people this year more than any other year. So I just wanted to bring up our condolences there for everybody.
Yeah.
And in South Dakota, there was a resource center that was destroyed by arson. Indian Country Today, Marionette Pember, reported on this earlier, I believe late last week on the 20th, and I didn't happen to catch it, but the Native American Women's Health Education Resource Center building, which was located in Lake Andes, South Dakota, it was a hub for services for the indigenous community and was destroyed on December 20th by a bizarre string of early morning fires. It looks like Donovan Sully of Lake Andes claims responsibility for the fires and turned him in to the county sheriff's office there. He said that he was angry and had blacked out before setting the fires and slashing cars on Lake Andes, according to the arrest affidavit. And right now, the health center, Native American Women's Health Education Resource Center, is now faced with the really daunting task of rebuilding. The center was a hub for a lot of different operations. They were a food pantry and a shelter for victims of domestic violence, transitional housing, as well as a community radio station, and they housed archival photographs and taped interviews with elders. The shelter and transitional housing were located on other properties and were not damaged, but the food pantry, the radio station, and those records were a complete loss to the organization. So, again, in that spirit of giving, when we're talking about you know, being able to help our relatives here in South Dakota, you can go to nativeshop.org, and the Native American Women's Health Education Resource Center comes up, and you can give them support online. On the note of Leonard Peltier, Robert, did you hear about Jim Thorpe and the committee coming up again to try to get him his gold medals back?
Yeah, I heard it was. And hey, we got to take off. Ogama Pinigigi. We'll be right back. It's Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by. Stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Strong Hearts Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Strong Hearts Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
What's the best vehicle for driving in Minnesota? That's easy. The RAV4 from Rudy Luther Toyota. I love this vehicle. Perfect for driving around the city, but also the best vehicle for tackling the Minnesota outdoors. The RAV4 fits all your stuff, whether it's your kids' sports gear or all the supplies for a trip to the cabin or ice house. And travel in style with the RAV4's refined, versatile interior and all the latest tech, matched with a tough, stylish exterior. And now they even have a hybrid version of the RAV4. The RAV4 is pure perfection. Test drive one today at Rudy Luther Toyota, 5 miles west of Minneapolis on 394.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Dr. Stately probably will be coming on around 6:30 like he usually does. Yeah. We just tried to, he's at the hockey rink talking with his kids and getting it ready, so the timing probably wasn't right, but we'll make sure he's on 6:30. But I know Ogama's got a little more news, but I wanted to really touch base with the whole thing with the 38 plus 2. Mm-hmm. I talked to Winona LaDuke down there, and Mary Kunish, our senator, state senator here, spoke beautifully about... No, I didn't say speak. The dog needs a chill. Okay, spoke beautifully on the 38 plus 2, and there was about 500-600 people there, and it was chilly, and the runners came in around 10, Wendy. It was a beautiful sight. The horse people were there, and that was Winona, and she had ridden the horse from South Dakota. I don't know if she did the whole trek. I didn't ask her, but
they usually do like a relay kind of thing.
Yeah, but the runners ran from Fort Snelling on Christmas night all the way down there, and there was no... They ran straight through.
Wow, that's crazy. Yeah. Good for them. Really, what a great cause, and you know, just bringing awareness.
Right.
About something that people need to kind of just learn about a little bit. But
yeah, and we really, I said this really quick. We really are making a big push here on Native Roots Radio to free Leonard Peltier.
Yeah, a couple of people in the chat are asking about Leonard Peltier. Robert, can you explain to them? Maybe like why he's in jail and.
Well, there was in matter of fact, I have this book. If you ever really want to know the inside, it's called "The Spirit of Crazy Horse," and it's by Peter Matheson. And I'll just read the first part of it here. On a hot June morning in 1975, a desperate shootout between the FBI agents against Native Americans near Wounded Knee, South Dakota, left an Indian and two federal agents dead. Four members of AIM, the American Indian Movement, were indicted on murder charges, and one, Leonard Peltier, was convicted and now serving consecutive life sentence in the federal penitentiary. If you look at, it was really big in the 80s, Wendy, when Robert Redford did that incident in Ogallala, which brought all the lawyers back. He was definitely framed because the other three people were left out, and I think it was just a message to American Indian Movement and Native Americans in general to really back off, because the whole shootout, hundreds and hundreds of cars came in during that shootout. They had set up, it was an FBI setup. And if you read the...
Leonard Peltier was a scapegoat, in other words.
Was totally set up and a scapegoat, Wendy. Yeah. And also, he's a political prisoner. Mm-hmm. And he's the longest standing political... It's over 45 years, longest standing political prisoner in the history of the United States.
Wow.
I mean, they've let off the person who killed John Lennon, who shot Ronald Reagan, the president, and yet R. Leonard is still in prison. And he's going in and out of solitary. He's old.
Solitary confinement.
Right, and he's old and...
he's sickly, too. His health is not very well.
Right. And so there's a lot of strange stuff, but we're going to have more guests, and we're going to have people that are talking to Leonard, and we're going to try and get Leonard on a tape recorded interview. We're going to really just make this year a big push to, as you say at the end of the show, free Leonard Peltier. He's the longest
political
prisoner in the history of the United States.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and the FBI set him up. And if you read this book, and I've reread it, Wendy, and I also have the 23 hours audio because I do a lot of driving and I listen to it. You know, they tie in the murder of Ollie May too as a setup too, and it's really it makes me angry. Mm-hmm. And this book was written in 1984.
Mm-hmm. In the spirit of Crazy Horse.
Yep.
Peter Matheson.
Yep.
Yep.
What's the story?
The story of Leonard Peltier and the FBI's war on the American Indian Movement.
Exactly. So I know, Ogama, you have a little more news, which is always great, and because I want to kick back here and relax a little bit and not work as hard. So Ogama, with some more news before we get to Dr. Stately.
Yeah.
Sure, absolutely. I'm Ogama Ganuakwe again. I'm from the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota, and I have some news for you on Native Roots Radio. Unfortunately, this past week, over the December 25th holiday, the New Brunswick-born Indigenous writer and actor Candy Palmater passed away suddenly at home. Candy was on, I believe, Trailer Park Boys, The Social. She had The Candy Show online, her own radio show as well. And it looks like she died suddenly at home. And a lot of those in the American Indian and First Nations communities in Canada are really grieving the loss. She described herself once as a gay, Native, recovered lawyer turned feminist comic who was raised by bikers in the wilds of northern New Brunswick. She lived in Halifax for about 30 years, where she studied law, worked as a lawyer, and worked for the Nova Scotian government, and actually recently had just finished writing an autobiography that was set to be published in the new year, and then passed suddenly on Christmas Day. So there's a lot of grief in the American Indian community for film and video and radio right now that Candy is no longer with us. It's deeply sorrowful. Robert, are you familiar with any of her roles?
Yeah, you know, and it's funny, they did some comedy stuff, Ogama and Wendy. They did some comedy stuff when COVID first hit. I remember there was a whole bunch of comedians on, and she was on that too. So it's sad, and it's like we all have to put some tobacco out.
It's very sad. How old of a woman was she?
She's 49.
Wow.
53.
Oh my God,
that's young.
53, very young. And then she'd been ill for a few weeks and was recently discharged from the hospital. Mm-hmm. I did run a search on, you know, the internet, and it said that she had been diagnosed with a very rare disease, something to do with cells being mutated in such a way that they have a hard time controlling the disease, and she passed suddenly at home, likely from complications related to that. So also unfortunate for that as well.
Very sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that was my little bit of extra news I had for everybody today. Robert, I just want to point out too, when you're talking about the Dakota 38 plus 2, over the weekend, Native Roots Radio aired the names of the Dakota 38 plus 2, those that were executed the day after Christmas on in that mass execution. And I got a chance to listen to that recording over the weekend, and it's incredibly powerful. And I believe they do the same thing in the in-person event in near Fort Snelling in the Twin Cities. Is that right?
Well, I know they did down in Mankato. I think the names are brought up. But I think, if I remember right, Jerry Dearley, our elder here in the Twin Cities, who we see everywhere, and I worked in Indian Ed with him years ago, or he worked in Indian Ed, and I worked with him at high school. He said both the English name or the translation too, didn't he? He said the name and the translation, what the name meant.
Yes. Yep. Yep. Yep, he did. He gave the traditional Dakota name that they were given and the translation for it. So some of the people were simply they weren't even listed by a name. They were listed as basically a nickname that would have been given, is my understanding. Mm-hmm. Some were just listed as oldest son or middle child or those kinds of names as well. So, I mean, the government took the time to execute these people, but did not take the time to even make sure that their name was correct, which just hurts my heart even more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. You know, and there was a speaker there too that brought up the whole, you know, we need to get Leonard out. And you know, we have Ruth Buffalo on, and we talked to Mary when she stopped by to get her resist jacket, Wendy, and how a lot of the politicians signed a letter, a proclamation, and made it, or
a resolution, and they sent it to the United States to President Biden to get Leonard Peltier out, and why they should, and
and hopefully we can get this pushed out again and really get. We thought for sure that he was going to be out during the Clinton administration, and then there was a lot of rumors about what the FBI said to Clinton about that, and he didn't do it, and we were hoping Obama would too, but we were also hoping Obama would have shut down Standing Rock a lot quicker than he did. We had to have all these 10,000 former military people come in there loaded with bear and ready to go fighting Morton County sheriffs, Wendy, before Obama did anything.
That's right.
And Obama, as vice president, is now president, so we need to really put the pressure on. We have more people now that are in his cabinet that can talk to him, Wendy.
Right.
You know, and talk some sense into him, because what is this guy going to do? He may rally us up. He may be our political prisoner out, but he'll fire us up. But we're here. We're peaceful protesters. We're water protectors. We're not going to burn the place down because, you know, Leonard is finally released. But hey, next, Pinigigi, for more of that news, Ogma. Next, we're going to have Dr. Stately. Wendy, have your fingers crossed. Dr. Stately at the skating rink. That'll be interesting. We'll be right back. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
It's not the younger people who are getting sick, and that's what people are so hesitant about getting the vaccine, because they think to themselves, well, I'm not really going to die. However, right now, they are the ones who are transmitting the virus to other people, and we need to make sure we're vaccinating as many people as possible.
This message is brought to you by McGizzy Communications and Minnesota Department of Health.
For too long, American Indian tribes have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan, LLP, seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation in Indian country. They have worked hand-in-hand with tribes to implement the Tribal Law and Order Act, fighting against diminishment of tribal lands and natural resources, and improving public safety on reservations. The Robbins Kaplan American Indian Law and Policy Practice serves tribes and individuals on commercial, government investigations, agency and tribal boundary disputes, as well as personal injury. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purdon, their American Indian Law and Policy Practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. If you or your tribe are facing legal issues, contact robbinskaplan.com or call toll-free at 1-800-553-9910.
Victor's 1959 Cafe on Grand Avenue is a little piece of Cuba right in South Minneapolis. All of your Cuban favorites are there, like the mango pancakes, sandwich cubano, eggs Havana, Cuban pork barbecue sandwich, and more. Victor's has their dining room open for seating with no reservations required. Plus, they still do takeout and delivery. So have a taste of authentic Cuban cuisine at Victor's 1959 Cafe, located off of 38th and Grand in South Minneapolis. More at victors1959cafe.com.
Hello, Minneapolis. Make sense. Make progress. Make a date. Make an appointment with me. Weeknights from 10 to midnight here on AM 950.
Hey, it's Tom. Utility costs are rising every year, and it's unnecessarily costing you money. But it doesn't have to be that way with a new system from All Energy Solar. Even if you have to take out a loan to finance your installation, you'll still save money in the long run. The loan payment will likely be less than what you would pay for electricity every month. And it's a locked-in price that won't change. So start saving and make the switch to All Energy Solar. Book your appointment today at allenergysolar.com.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lulia. Cloudy tonight with a low of 6 above, then snow expected on Tuesday. We could see 1 to 3 inches possible and a high of 22. Are you tired of those holiday leftovers? Skip the ham and potatoes tonight and head to one of our Eat Local Minnesota restaurants. Find the list of Eat Local Minnesota restaurants at eatlocalminnesota.com.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are the Alusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
I don't know if you can see on the screen here, Wendy, but the picture above the water sign there is...
It's crooked.
It's crooked. Besides it being crooked, not Ogama's.
Not you, Ogama.
That's Leonard Peltier painted that picture up there above the water protectors.
Really?
Yeah. And so we're going to have like 10 of his paintings, prints.
Wow, he's an
in
artist.
Our store.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we're going to be doing that and selling those at our store and, and probably having a rally and things like that, too. I'm going to scare some people in Dayton's. No, I'm just kidding. But, hey, you know, we're about to have one 4-year anniversary and 1-year anniversary of being on 5 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to give a shout out to Chicago, Madison, the Twin Cities, and soon Milwaukee, and all over Turtle Island on Spotify, iTunes, and all those
YouTube.
Yep, Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
All those people that listen in and support us. We get energy from you. But we also, since we've gone 5 days a week, we used to have a 2-hour show where we'd have these kick butt people on for 2 hours, different guests. And now we spread it across five days a week.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say one of the top 5 guests that we have is on right now, Dr. Stately. And Dr. Stately is the CEO of the Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities in Minneapolis. And he's a hockey dad.
And he has a PhD in child psychology, so he's really, really smart.
That's right. Welcome, Dr. Stately.
Oh, thank you. That's a very kind and generous introduction there.
Top 5.
Yeah, thank you. Well, you know, but still in the end, I'm just a hockey dad, and that's really my most noteworthy accomplishment, because I didn't know anything about hockey before my kids ever skated, so I had to do a lot of learning in a couple of years.
Yeah.
Well, I was a skater when Henry Boucher was played for the Saints and the North Stars, and everyone told me because I wore a sweatband and I had long hair that I looked like him, and I don't know if that's a compliment or not. So we're gonna move on. So what's happening?
I hope everybody had a wonderful Merry Christmas or a Happy Holiday if you celebrate and you participate in that particular holiday, and are getting ready for a new year, new gear, as they call it or say it. but hopefully we're moving into our third year of this pandemic, and things are heating up with the Omicron variant, and things are getting pretty dicey in some places and spaces. And hopefully people, I know it's been a challenge. It has absolutely been a psychological and physical and spiritual challenge to sort of bear the weight of this pandemic. But, we're strong and resilient people. We can do this.
Yeah. Well, Wendy and I were trying to do some business with this evil phone and Macintosh kind of store, and we were at a mall in Roseville called Rosedale. Mm-hmm. I was wearing a mask.
More people were not wearing masks than wearing masks, but this particular store we went into mandates masks, and they were handing them out for people who wanted to walk in to put them on. So it just kind of surprises me that, people are just out and about like business as usual and they're not wearing any masks. After maybe they don't read the news, maybe they don't listen to the news, maybe they don't know how many people are really sick or know the cases and the numbers, the daily, cases of COVID. Maybe they just don't know,
It's disturbing. I mean, I had that same experience. I remember, like a typical hockey dad, I waited to the last moment to go shopping last week and, the last 3 or 4 days before Christmas. And I was in like very busy stores, and there were lots of people that were not wearing masks. And, and they were like, in some places they were shoulder to shoulder deep in those stores, not wearing masks and just, I know that I wore my mask and, I had some people kind of look at me like, what's that thing on your face? And I was like, the way I think about that and the way I sort of like, make sense of that for myself as a psychologist is like, I do think that a lot of it has to do with like just, the burden, the psychological burden of having to sort of do this this thing. And and being in the middle of this pandemic that has taken so many things from us, right? It's taken actual people that we love from us. It's taken, lots of liberty and freedoms from us. It's taken, it's taken a lot from us as individuals and as humans and as communities and a nation, and actually as a global family, right? And every one of us is in the same boat, right? So that's something important to try to remember, I think. We want to encourage people to remember that. But I also think that part of it is that, America has, the United States specifically, not just America, but, because I always forget, America's, a couple of continents here. But the United States specifically has a deeply embedded sort of like value of individualism, right? Rugged individualism, right? And a lot of that sometimes comes through in individual behaviors and then trickles down into policy and all kinds of other things. But, that is the nature of the West, which is like, nothing and no one matters more than my specific, needs and my well-being and a few other things. And that's diametrically opposed to how we think and behave as Indigenous people. That's directly, diametrically opposed to the original instructions that Creator gave us before we came to this Turtle Island, right? And so trying to remind each other about that and do everything we can to protect our families and ourselves and our community and, the most precious gifts we have, which are elders and kids. Lots of kids can't get vaccinated. Lots of elders can't get vaccinated. And lots of people who are very, very ill can't get vaccinated. So the easiest way to protect them, even if you have been fortunate enough to get the vaccine, is to wear your mask in the presence of other people, especially people that you don't know, that you have no relationship directly to, and you don't know whether or not you can pass a virus on to them or not.
Well, my dad used to tell me when I would, kind of go off the rails as kind of a unique person, I always told him I was really unique, and he would say, you're unique just like everybody else. It's like, oh, well.
Yeah.
Hey, I wore a mask all through this heck we went through with the phone and everything today, and I didn't have really a problem. I'm used to the mask, and I know a lot of young people are. That we deal with. And Wendy and I were talking about before there was a vaccine, we were exposed to COVID, but the saving grace was Wendy was wearing a mask.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, there's all kinds of really good reasons to wear your mask. I think the other thing that I think is really important is like there's the reality that you can actually pass the virus on to other people that are vulnerable. Mm-hmm. There's also like, and that's important because I know there's this rich debate going on across the country and even across the globe in some different areas about sort of the virulence and also the sort of like the quote-unquote deadliness of Omicron. Mm-hmm. Some folks think like, they hear the words, well, we don't know yet, and they hear that as being, giving permission to sort of like act as if. And I think the thing is that we don't really have solid evidence yet that for like just how deadly it is. But the fact that it is 40 times more infectious is a really big deal. And that's a big deal because lots more people getting sick, even mildly to moderately sick, is still impactful to our healthcare system. And I think the last week I was talking to you about the fact that, I took my partner to the ER a couple of days after he got out of the ER last week. I think he got out in the middle of the week, and then I took him back in on Thursday night for another visit, and there were like no parking spots in the emergency room parking lot, right? I was like, the place was packed. It was crazy. Mm-hmm. We had to wait to get into the emergency room forever. And, the visit before that, he was in the hallway for 2 days and then in the closet. right? The real impact that it's having on our healthcare system is that there are no people, like if you have a heart attack or you have some other type of like emergent condition, but there's no ICU beds or no emergency beds for you, like, you know, it could be curtains for you or your loved one. So I really want to encourage people to think, we have to start thinking broadly and more beyond just our immediate sort of like selves, mm-hmm. And our own well-being, because, you know, the impact that it can have on so many other people, including our healthcare system, is crazy. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about like what just happened, like the airlines canceled like something like 700 flights because of all those people that got sick in the airline industry. And, you know, people are upset, they're stranded, you should have used common sense and intelligence that creator gave you to just sort of like figure out, like, there's a high likelihood that you'd get stranded in these situations and conditions. So.
Dr. Stately, could you stick with us for another quick segment?
Yeah.
Awesome. Hey, I just got to say this before we're with Dr. Stately, and he's CEO at the Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And I just have to say this before we go to commercial, mm-hmm. is like, who the heck's taking a cruise after what we started with this virus in the beginning, people? Another thing my dad used to say is, I asked for brains, but I thought they said trains, and I let mine go by. So, hey, a few more anecdotes from me, and we'll be back with Dr. Stately. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back.
Stay with us.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
Navigating COVID while protecting yourself can be difficult. Fortunately, there's a hotline you can call with any questions. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on vaccines, booster shots, and testing sites. Right now, booster shots are available to anyone over the age of 18 for those who are eligible. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline can also help with housing, food, medical, and educational support. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19, vaccinations, booster shots, or testing, please call 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakanjahade.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Hey. Good one. I heard Dr. Stately come through.
Yeah.
Hey. That was a good one.
Right.
You've been practicing. So, Dr. Stately, you could probably do that. What's the name of your son's hockey team?
They are the Prior Lake Bantam B1 Gold team.
Cool.
What was the last part?
Bantam B1 Gold. Oh, actually, Navy, sorry. They only have one team, only one B1 team. A lot of times they have more than one, but they only have one this year.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And I think they're like either number one or two. They're like in the top five teams mm-hmm. in the state. They were in first place a couple weeks ago for a few weeks.
So that's what positions do they play? Are they defense? Are they the goal scorers? Are they the dean assistant?
I got a defense player who probably is going to start doing some forward here soon. Practicing tonight some forward moves. They got a game down in Mankato tomorrow. And then the other boy is a center and a forward. So he's he doesn't score a whole lot. I mean, he does. He has historically. Last year he was top scorer and assister for his team. He's, mm-hmm. he's more of a playmaker. I think he likes to make plays. He likes to set his teammates up for success, which I think is a really generous thing. Reflects his integrity, right?
You do get points for that, though, too, so that's good. You get those assists.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know,
he's got the top assists in the team. So.
Well, there you go. That's where the Benjamins come, so keep on playing and passing that puck around and be the playmaker, and he'll be on the Wild soon enough. I was going to say North Stars. Boy, am I old. What the heck?
So we're hearing a lot of news lately about lots of professional sports teams out there, stopping. They have to stop play because of COVID and infection. Yep. How are things going with the local hockey team there?
Things are going well right now. We don't have a lot of outbreaks right now. We are, I think that we do a good job with, ensuring that they are keeping social distancing in the locker room, that they're sort of, following local practices. The Minnesota Hockey Association, which sort of kind of governs some of those things and then sort of dictates the rules and regulations down to local associations, is pretty on top of that. The associations have to sort of implement the policies and the practices. So mm-hmm. our team is doing well right now and our association is doing well. We don't have a lot of breakthroughs.
That's good to hear. That's very good to hear.
And we don't know we don't have any specific data on how many kids are vaccinated, but I think a lot of kids are vaccinated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really good.
Through the grapevine, lots of parents talking about having their teenagers who are over the age of 14 vaccinated. So.
Yeah, that's great. But yeah, going back to what you were saying before, you may just get mild or moderate symptoms with this variant. I mean, you may not. You can go to the hospital and get sick and potentially die. But it's keeping a lot of people quarantined, and their positions aren't being filled. Like you said, the airlines, the healthcare workers, people working in the restaurant, et cetera, et cetera. So it is. It's a big hit to our economy, to our healthcare system, and so on.
Yep, it's putting a big strain on the entire infrastructure, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of the country to not sort of do our individual part, right? And mm-hmm. I think one of the things that it sort of gives an opportunity for us to just say is or sort of really illustrate is it really does come down to as much as we as Americans and United States citizens really as a country sort of embrace this individualism. The reality of it is we don't, this is the one thing the pandemic has taught us is there is really no such thing as a separation between me and you when it sort of comes to some situations and conditions like this one. My well-being is directly connected to your well-being when we share space and we share, other resources and things like that. And the thing is that, if we don't do our individually, if we don't all do our part in ensuring that we are doing everything we can to contribute to the lessening the impact of this virus and this pandemic on us as a society, then we all pay the cost, right? Mm-hmm. Even the person that refuses to take the vaccine or do their part, wear a mask or social distance, everybody pays a cost.
Mm-hmm.
Some people pay more dearly than others, but everybody pays a cost. And right. I think that's the thing that most people don't see. It escapes most people. They think, oh, well, I'm just responsible for myself. Well, the reality of it is that you don't live in a bubble on an island mm-hmm. where only your decisions impact just you. They impact everybody.
Well, I'm going to go to the New Year's Eve powwow at the Indian Center this year, and you can bet I'll be masked up the whole time, mm-hmm. and I don't have a problem with that. You know, and it's great to see relatives out there.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's important for us to do those things. You know, we're into, we're going into the third year of, being, socially isolated and distanced from others, and we've had so many losses. And those losses have taken an emotional and spiritual and psychological toll on us, as individuals and as families and communities. And so it's important for us to get together and celebrate and, spend time together, dance, sing, spend social time. But I think doing it in a responsible way is really important. And so I hope that everybody that goes masks up, gets vaccinated if they can, gets their booster if they can. Mm-hmm. I think they now say that within 48 hours of getting the booster, you have significant boost, more protection than you do unboosted. So if you're eligible for the booster, go out and get it as quickly as you can. Do your part to protect other people. Everyone will be appreciative of it.
Well, Dr. Stately, thanks for being on and sharing your wisdom with us. And we really appreciate it. And, I want to thank you, too, for being a great dad and supporting your kids. I know how much it meant to me when my father was at my baseball games and football games when I was young.
And so, your drum corps.
Oh, yeah. That's a whole nother story. But, Peeny Gigi, thank you for being on and being such a great father. And it takes a village, but you're... you're one of our leaders, and I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Chimiwich.
Great. Wow. Wendy, Dr. Stately, what can we say? We are blessed.
It's awesome. And you know what? We hear it all the time when we're out in the community that, we heard a couple of younger people say, I was really on the fence.
Yep.
I didn't want to get vaccinated. I was worried, and I didn't really think I needed to. But I did get vaccinated because I heard Dr. Stately talk.
Exactly.
And if we could get more people to listen and to get vaccinated, that's a great accomplishment, I feel, that we're doing a great public service. And it's all about the greater good. It's not, like you said, the individual person. It's
perfect.
It's the greater good.
Ogma, give you 10 seconds.
I am expecting my second daughter in March, and I was fully vaccinated with two shots before I was pregnant. I got my third one my booster shot while I was pregnant, and my 8-year-old now has her first two shots. So I am with you right there, and I'm there to be able to do that for the greater good and to be able to give our future generations some level of protection.
You are a vaccinative. Right on. I'm vaccinative. Hey, the ground on which you stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group. Free Leonard Peltier, Wendy. We are the seventh generation.
Stop line 3. Please get vaccinated.
We're still here.